Thank you, Mr. King. I'd like to thank everybody for the encouragement. I can't believe how many people have said, "Oh, I know you're going to do good." And I'm like, all right, we'll see you when I'm done if how it goes. I told Mr. King that this is my 53rd feast, and my mother is here. She winked at me on the way off the stage, and I think this is about 57 for you. Is that right? 56. All right, I'm off by one. I'd like to send special greetings out to Joe and Claire Clark and anybody else that's on the Cybercast or however you may be hearing this later. It's wish you could be here. Wish everybody could be here. We look forward to the day when we'll all be gathered together. Well, it's day two of the Feast of Tabernacles. So I better get right to my message, because my message is, we better be careful or this feast will be history. And you may have missed out. And we need to take positive steps to make sure and ensure that this feast is worth all the time and effort that we've put into getting here and being a part of it. Brethren, we need to begin with the end in mind. Begin with the end in mind as a book that Stephen Covey wrote, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Begin with the end in mind is step two. Many of you have probably read that book. But how does it apply to us here in Bend in 2010? When you think about beginning with the end in mind, it makes perfect sense. We do it all the time. Whether you are deciding what time to leave so you can get to services on time, You have to begin with the end in mind to do that. Or maybe you're going to go to Ben Redmond for the Feast of Tabernacles. You have to think, all right, I need to get there at 5 o'clock. Well, based on how far it is, I need to leave at 12 o'clock. And then you get there at 5 o'clock. For us, we said, well, we're going to leave at 3 o'clock when the kids get out of school, and we'll get there at 11 o'clock. Well, didn't go quite like that. We left home at 7 o'clock, and we got in at 2:30 a.m. Did you notice the musicians over here today that were playing? Yes. Do you think they started with the end in mind? At some point, something made them want to play a particular instrument, or possibly their parents said, "You will play that instrument." And they have played and rehearsed and practiced for not days, not months. In most cases, they've played for years or maybe most of their lifetime. And today and each day of this feast, they are sharing that with us at the Feast of Tabernacles. At some point, they imagined, they heard a song. I can remember in my younger days, I heard songs and I thought, boy, if I could just play like that, that would be so cool. And I just suspicion that those musicians at one day in their life heard a sound, heard a song, and they imagined themselves playing like that. Our daughter, Patricia, plays the cello. She's the pink cello case that you may have seen floating around here incognito. I remember when Patty decided that she wanted to play cello. The family, and I don't remember if I was there, but I remember that Patty and her mother, Joyce, had listened to this cello section in this concert, and Patty fell in love with the cello, and she wanted to play the cello, so she does. And all of our children play instruments of their choice. But they all started with the end in mind. They wanted to play beautiful music. What allowed these musicians to do what they do so well? Practice, patience, persistence, more practice, and when they get done with that, more practice. And they have to keep the end in mind. They're playing music and it has to sound right. They can tell when they goof up. They can tell when they hit the string wrong. They can tell when they blow it wrong. And it takes time, doesn't it? It takes ongoing time, over and over again. Like I said, more practice. You know, when God called us into the church, we had a dream. We had a first love. We had a dream. And we could see ourselves being children of God in the family of God. And you know what? We've been practicing for years, haven't we? Not days. You couldn't go into the kingdom of God with a few days' practice. In many cases, we're practicing for years. For some of us, many years. Because we just have to keep perfecting. We have to keep getting better and better. We practice walking with our God. And you know, it's not always fun. Just like the musicians, it's not always fun. There are trials and tests and tribulations. They have to work on new fingering and trying to get their lips to work just right and learn new progressions. And it's not easy for us either, is it? Sometimes it's really painful. But we know that when we get it right, nobody cares really how long it took you. Nobody needs to know that you've been doing this for 53 years. When you're playing well, people just appreciate what you're doing. We're glad the musicians stick to it. And you know what? The people in the millennium and in the world tomorrow are going to appreciate that you stuck with what you're doing here. That they don't care how long it took you to get there. They are going to be thankful that you made it and that you are in God's family and that you're there to guide and direct them. So we're here at the feast. Physically, we need to begin this feast with the end in mind. Do you realize that already 39 hours and 45 minutes have ticked away on this Feast of Tabernacles? And that stupid clock just keeps ticking. And before you know it, it's going to be gone. I hate clocks. And so you certainly don't want to just endure this Feast of Tabernacles. You need to begin this feast with the end in mind also. Would you like to be rejuvenated and inspired and encouraged in this feast? Well, I have a suspicion you'd like that. So if you're going to be good at keeping this feast, how are you going to do it? Do you want to encourage and strengthen yourself? Well, let me tell you how to do it. Turn to the left or the right, or forward or behind, in a parking stall next to you or the condo next to you, and help somebody else enjoy their feast, and it'll turn around and pay dividends. You need to be a party of one, a committee of one, to make somebody else's feast go better, and yours will go better also. But do you want to spend time with another person or a family or with widows, some widows or somebody less fortunate? You can't wait until the last minute to do this. You've got to get with it and make some plans and get that calendar out and figure out when you're going to do it. You can't wait till day 7 and then try pulling it together at the last minute because it won't work. Do you intend to buy a gift or do something special for somebody? Then you need to figure out when you're going to do that. You want to invite somebody over? Maybe you're going to do a cooked meal at your place, a barbecue or something. Or you want to treat somebody to a nice meal out? Then you're going to have to plan it. Because everybody's got, we've got 3 teenagers. And they want to do everything. And we'd like to meet some people too. But it all has to fit into the calendar. And we can't wait till the last day to do it. Do you want this to be a spiritual feast? Well, then you'll probably have to go to bed, and you probably have to get up a little earlier, and you probably have to do first things first. You have to pray for the speakers, which I really appreciate. There are different stages of people in this room. I'll simplify it into 3 categories. Some of you are focused on kids because you have 2 or 3 or 1 or several kids that you're responsible for. Some have to focus just to get here. In fact, some people, even when they focus, they can't get here. That wasn't funny. I mean, there are people that need to be here and they can't. And those people, the third category, is kind of all the rest of us who have the ways and means to get around, and we're at a point in life where we still have freedom to do what we want to do. And what we need to do is to help others that are beside us and that need our help. We're family. We're in the zone, right? We're one big family. We're making memories and we're telling the stories as we heard the other night. Turn to Matthew 25 and verse 34. Matthew 25 and verse 34. I don't know if you thought about this, but God started with the end in mind. Nothing has escaped God's outlook and his plan. God began with the end in mind. You're here as part of that plan. And in fact, and you know it, Jesus Christ started with the end in mind. He knew he was going to have to give his physical life. He knew what it would take to have a family. Matthew 25 and verse 34 says, "Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my father.'" Now, read this real carefully. "Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Jesus Christ knew from the foundation of the world what it was going to take. And he knew that he had a kingdom that was prepared. He just needed the people. He needed the people being plugged in. And you're those people. Now, I'm going to summarize verse 35. It says, "For I was hungry, thirsty, a stranger, naked, sick, and in prison, and you came to my aid." That's the Mike Iams version. "And since you did it to the least of my brethren, you did it to me." Isn't that interesting? That's amazing. Who would have thought you'd had to do those things to get into the kingdom of God? But that's just the beginning. Turn to Revelation 22. God sees things through. Revelation 22 and verse 12. You've heard before that I'm the Alpha and Omega. All right. Revelation 22 and verse 12. "And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give everyone according to his work." Remember the work we just read about in Matthew 25? And if you want into the kingdom, that's what you have to do. Verse 13, "I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter the gates into the city." We like to go into that city. We'd like to be a part of that time when it's fulfilled. In about 2001, Bend 2001, our family had unexpectedly isolated ourselves in a campground out this side of Sisters. We had three young children, ages 5 and 4 and 4. Little did we know that all the cool church people were in a different campground. And we were the only one in that whole campground, clear out in Sisters, Oregon. We picked the wrong campground. It was just us, wife, three kids, and one grumpy dad. And I hadn't planned for that, and I didn't do well, and it wasn't fun. Mostly I missed the fellowship. There wasn't anybody to talk to. It was just the wife and the three kids. And it's just really nice to have someone else to talk to. And there was nobody there. And the kids needed naps. And it just turned out to be a bad feast. But I tried to learn from it. We didn't camp any after that. So I would encourage you to look around and see who needs a helping hand. If people with children, you know, it'd be nice to have a night out. Maybe you could babysit for somebody. Maybe certain people ride together all the time. If you could allow them to have a little time off, offer to ride somebody else, offer to take somebody out to dinner or something, spread your fellowship around. It just really goes over well. You know, we're going to get out of this feast what we put into it. And if you want to make it a great feast, you're going to help others, and it's going to turn around. Turn to Daniel 7 quickly, if you can find it quickly. It's in the Old Testament. It's on page 865. Daniel 7, verse 13. Christ said that he's the Alpha and the Omega. I want you to notice here, you know, the beginning and the end. I want you to notice what it says here. And the Bible says it different places in different ways. Daniel 7, verse 13. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him before him, near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. So, beginning with the end in mind is kind of a misnomer, isn't it? Because it's never going to end. But Christ and God the Father knew that, and they have a plan for that. And it's not going to end. It's just going to go on forever. You know, the millennium is 1,000 years long. That's just a day to God. It's just a day's work. It's a day that he's been planning since the foundation of the earth. God called you to be successful, and he gives you the tools to be successful, and he gives you the practice time to be successful, and we can be successful. So by starting with the end in mind, you can have a great feast by making the feast better for others, which in turn allows you to have a great feast. And by starting with the end in mind, God is going to have the family he wants, just like he intended from the beginning. That is a wonderful time that we can celebrate.